You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. With actors in over 20 Broadway shows and other stages across the globe, we are your one-stop shop for all things theater and fitness. So if you're looking to marry your career in theater with a pursuit of training like the athlete that you are in fitness, go to builtforthestage.com and I'll be happy to work with you one-on-one using an online interactive fitness app. All right, let's get on to our special guest. Special guest as always, I was just in London about 3 or 4 weeks ago, seeing a good amount of shows. One of them, of course, had to be Hamilton. And saw Hamilton, saw a lot of crazy things, like you can buy an entire bottle of wine at the bar before the show or at intermission. Thought that was pretty bold of them, but I guess that's the thing in the West End. I was loving witnessing people trying to finish their bottle of wine as quickly as possible. But anyways, that was my little silly aside there. Our guest originally was born in Japan. They grew up in London. They recently made their West End debut in Hamilton. They cover all of the Skylar sisters, which is super impressive. And when I saw the show, they were on for Eliza. So I can't wait for you to meet our guest today, Maya Brito. Welcome to the show, Maya. Hey, Maya.
Hey, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. All right, so it's Wednesday. Tonight, you were saying before we hit record that you are going on again for Eliza tonight, and you think you hadn't been on since probably the last time I saw you.
Yeah, exactly, about a month. I've been on as Angelica at least once every week since, but Eliza tonight. I really do love playing her, so I'm looking forward to it.
Let's run through your first experience for each time you went on for a new character, because I saw on your Instagram, it seemed like this was happening back in like August, maybe, when each time was like your new time going on for each sister. Whichever one you want to start with, or maybe you can start with like the first one that you went on for and tell us what that was about.
So I haven't gone for all three yet.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
That's all right. I haven't gone on for Peggy yet because I'm second cover. So for that one, I will find out on the day. I'll get a few hours notice, but that's yet to happen.
Got it.
As you said, this is my West End debut. And oh my God, I was so nervous. I was so nervous. It was in July. It was my debut for Angelica. And I remember backstage, because she starts on the top of the surround, just before you go on, I could hear my heartbeat. It was so loud. But at the same time, I felt ready. I was nervous, but I was calm, because I'd been rehearsing for this since like April. And it was insane. It was so cool just to see all the people, because we've been rehearsing on stage, obviously, with an empty auditorium, and to finally see these people that we've been waiting for, that I'd been waiting for at least. It was so cool. And Eliza also, she's such a different character to Angelica. I didn't anticipate how differently I would feel in her shoes doing the full arc. Because you only get to do it a couple of times before actually doing it in front of an audience in rehearsals.
What were a few of the differences between the characters, as far as, you said the journey was a bit different for you as far as your experience on the stage?
Yeah, so, I mean, Angelica's the older sister. She's outwardly fiery. She's very assertive. She's happy to be at the center of attention and hold her own in that way. And Eliza she has a different kind of strength. She's also got more of a maternal side. She's softer. She's so generous and forgiving And I like to think that I like to think I have both of myself in them, and it's just like I can amplify whoever I'm playing even more. But yeah, that's really cool. And I guess also, I think as a lot of castings I've been up for before, I've been expected to be, I don't know, play more timid characters or be quiet or whatever. So it's nice to play Angelica. So I'm like, no, like, you're going to listen to me. Listen to me rap. Like, I'm sick.
Well, had you had any rapping experience in the past? Or like, yeah, tell us about building up that character for yourself.
So growing up, me and my brothers used to songwrite all the time. My brothers used to rap. I used to always sing. And for fun, they would write me raps. It's really embarrassing. I'm glad it doesn't exist on the internet anymore. But yeah, so I would like mess about with them. I grew up listening to a lot of hip hop and stuff because of my brothers. Like Lauryn Hill, I love. So like having female rappers in my ear was like, okay, cool. Like, I want to do this. So when Angelica came along, it was like, yeah, no, I can do this. I really think I can do this.
You still record some now, right? Not raps, but I was reading like you still like to do this on your own.
Yeah.
Covers, your own stuff. What kind of stuff do you like to do in your own time?
Mainly my own stuff, my own songs. My brother, he still will like send me beats, send me like little loops, and then I'll just go off in my own world and record and.
Okay, so your brothers remained in music as well. Or let's jump into that. Growing up, music was a big part of your household?
Hugely, yeah. So both my brothers, they're both older than me. They were both really musical. One would play the piano and the other would play the violin. I grew up playing the cello and singing. But it was, I was always singing. My dad loves to sing. Like I've got baby pictures of my dad playing and I playing the badminton racket, like the air guitar. But yeah, so music's always been a huge, huge part of my upbringing, and creating music with my brothers has never stopped, I guess, even if we're like all in different parts of the world. Thank God for the internet. We can still do it.
Okay. And so you grew up with this interest in music. You're playing air guitar on rackets. When did it become more serious when you're thinking, I think I want to like do this thing for real, you know, as a career? When did that start to happen?
You know what? I think as a kid, I'd always sing. I used to do ballet. I never really did much like acting stuff, but I never thought of the three disciplines as being a viable career, like to do as one. Like it just never occurred to me. I would perform like ballet recitals and gig and do open mic nights and stuff, but it never occurred to me that I could just do all three as a job. So when I was younger, I always wanted to be a singer. And then as I got older, I found like an Amdram group in London. I realized, oh wow, this is sick. Like I want to do this for like as a career. So it was around 17, I guess. I knew I loved it. I knew I loved performing and acting through song, which is what got me. I ended up going to university to do music, just like general music at Goldsmiths. So it was very academic and very like theoretical and very far from what I wanted to be doing. But I saw it through. I did the 3 years, and then I went to the Royal Academy of Music and I trained there in musical theatre. And yeah, I feel like I've never really looked back since.
Yeah.
Committing myself to that.
And then you graduate from your master's in musical theater, and then what, the red carpet's rolled out and you have your perfect career? Or tell us a little bit about that journey of ups and downs, making your West End debut. I also saw that you were in a production. Oh, where is it at? This was back in 2021, Tokyo Rose. Was it 2021?
Yeah, so God, I didn't graduate that long ago. If you, because COVID doesn't count, that took
I know it's really like the timeline is just yeah, over the place now.
Yeah, exactly. So 2018 is when I graduated, and I did my stage debut that autumn, and that was Arabian Nights at Hoxton Hall, and that was really cool working with people who'd been. Who were either also debuting with me or had been in the business for a while. So it was like, I was learning so much. It was a puppet show, it was a family puppet show, which was really cool. And then like from 2018 up until getting this job early this year, well, yeah, I guess there've been varied experiences. I've done like a bunch of workshops at the National. I've done really random jobs, like being hired for a corporate event, and I pretend like I'm dressed up like a young, I was like a goth and I had like a fake piercing. I was like, you want to hire me? And I had like a whole presentation, and I'm like, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover and things like that.
Okay.
Really stuff like that. And then I did Tokyo Rose. Tokyo Rose was a new musical written by a really young company, and we planned to do it. We did it for the Edinburgh Fringe in 2019, which was, I don't know if you've ever been, but Fringe is so mad, but so cool. Like every corner, there is just like life. There's just life everywhere in the streets and it's buzzing. You end up drinking a lot as well because your bank account will like be empty, but it's so much fun. We ended up winning a few awards out there for that show to help us go on tour, which was supposed to happen in 2020. But that got postponed to last year, so we did a little national tour last year of the show, and it's a show that I feel like I grew a lot through, because it was one that I was able to help devise, and it was about a Japanese American woman, although I'm not American, I am half Japanese but British. There were a lot of things that I could relate to, being caught between two cultures and not always feeling like you belong and not feeling always welcomed by either side and things like that. And then it's based on a true story, Tokyo Rose. I don't know if you've heard it as an American.
Yeah, I was reading through and then did some background reading about it as well. You did a cast recording too, I saw on Spotify.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be sure everyone that's listening, make sure you check out the description of this. I'll put the link in there for you to take a listen.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and then after that it was Hamilton. And Hamilton really is a dream come true. So I'm very, very grateful. I'm so blessed.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So I'm going to assume or I'll say it's safe to say you figured out how to audition because you're booking consistently. So walking into the room, I wanted to highlight this because you had said about the goth thing that, don't judge a book by its cover, or you're sharing that previously you rapped with your brothers growing up. How do you go into an audition room and make sure that you present who you know you are and that the people behind the table can get a grasp of that. What do you think your success, you know, relies on these past couple years?
It's not always been successful.
All right, good. Let's get into that too, because, you know, I love for listeners to hear this, because so many of them come for motivation or insight or just relatability of, oh, these people, it's not all butterflies and rainbows, you know, like it's real life.
Not at all. Like I faced a lot of rejection. Like, it might sound like I've been booking a lot, but if you put that next to how many auditions I've done, like, yeah, it's a handful of yeses in a sea of no's.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, you have to, I think what I've learned is that that's not, like, not to take it personally, because there's so much that you don't know on the other side of that table, like what goes into casting something that you don't see. And it's just a waste of energy to try and work out, what did I do wrong? Why don't they like me? And it's, I think most of the time it's not about you personally.
Yeah.
Like when I talk to casting directors or directors, they'll be like, yeah, sometimes it's about whether you can fit in the costume that they already have. And, or if how you look next to this person, what's the chemistry between you and this other person that they've already cast? Like, and that's not your fault. I think everyone has so much that they have to offer. I think embrace that, and there'll always be a place for where your magic is. And I really believe that. And I feel like I have to believe that in this business, but yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, like, I also try and think about walking into an audition room, as much as it's an opportunity for me to hopefully book a job, it's also an opportunity for these people that maybe I've not met before to meet me. Like, what do I have to offer? Or yeah. Like, at least if nothing comes of this, at least I've met really cool people who share the same passion as me, and that's enough for me. Right. Like, I try to keep that mentality.
Love that. All right, let's shake things loose with a short little break and a game here. BFTS hot seat, so don't get super anxious. You get kind of nervous, but here comes the hot seat. All right, Maya Brito on the hot seat. All right, Maya, you walk into a room, okay, and the TV's on, and it's a movie that you've seen 100 times. But no matter how many times you see this movie, you have to stop and watch it. What is that movie?
Oh, I think it's My Neighbor Totoro.
Okay. All right. Amazing. Good start. All right. You are going to the theater. You're commuting to the theater. Maybe it's like gloomy out. You need a bit of a pick-me-up. If we get to see your music playlist, what is one or two songs that's like your go-to, get you fired up, get you feeling good?
Oh my God. Okay. People complain that my taste in music is way too mellow, but oh my God, this is such a good question. I love Nick Hakim.
Okay.
So his new album that would be playing.
Nick Hakim. Okay. All right. You're reincarnated, coming back to life as an animal. What animal are you coming back as?
An elephant.
Oh, okay. Tell us why.
Elephants are just so, I love their gentleness. I love their poise, but their strength. They can be really powerful, but really playful and gentle at the same time.
I was frequenting this cafe near, so there's by the, I can't remember the theater name where Frozen's at, and then nearby is Lion King. There's that square, you know, there's...
Garden.
What's it called?
Covent Garden.
Yes. So just like down one of those like side streets, there's this nice cafe, and there's this square, this like hidden little seating area. There's this beautiful bamboo elephant, like large life-sized elephant, but it was made of bamboo. It was beautiful.
And oh, wow.
Took videos of it. I'll post it on our stories today so you can take a look. You're going to.
Yeah. I haven't seen that.
If you like elephants, you're going to really like it. Okay. Last hot seat question. If you could be in any show as any role, what would that be?
Oh, this question. I get asked it so many times and I never have an answer.
Limitless. Could be anything. You could be Jafar in Aladdin, or you could any character.
That's such a good question. Oh my god. Recently people have been saying, oh, in Hamilton, what would you be if you could not be who you are?
Oh, okay.
This is a hot seat question. Who would I be?
Luckily we don't have a clock. We don't have a timer on you. We don't have a 10-second countdown. Well, how about Hamilton? Would you be the king? Would you be Hamilton?
I like Lawrence.
Lawrence. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. We'll take
that's
that.
Such a long answer. I'm sorry that I wasn't more prepared.
No, it's okay. You're off the hot seat. You're off the hot seat. I was running through like a list of characters and shows in my head, and another question came up. Do you prefer like old school classical musical theater, or do you like new stuff? Do you like movies? Like as far as movie musical, do you like jukebox? Do you like an original book musical? What's your vibe as far as favorite type of musical?
I think definitely like more contemporary stuff.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not a huge musical theater fan.
Okay, let's get into it. How does one survive being a musical theater actress while not being a musical theater fan?
I'm not a huge musical, like I do like musical theater, but I think, I don't know. I don't listen to many soundtracks anymore on my way around London.
I say this a lot. I haven't said it on this podcast in a while, but I truly believe that I think the healthiest relationship with this career is being a person in theater as opposed to a theater person.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think just to give a little backstory on I think why I've really deviated from musical theater, but when I was training, I really immersed myself so much into musical theater and it was all I would listen to. And then by the end of that year, I was like, I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know what I like. Like outside of this world, like what happened to all my musical interests, who I used to love riffing to? And now I can't riff. Like what's going on? Like, you know, it was wild. So I was like, nope, I need to start again. Who do I like? Who do I listen to? I went back onto like Erykah Badu, India Irie, just the people that I like, Amel LaRue, Groove Theory, people that I loved listening to growing up. I'm like, hey, like I need to reconnect with this love. And that since like 2018, that's never left. And I don't ever really want that to leave.
I think that what makes the best of performers are people that have the most like genuine human experiences in real life, you know, as opposed to this sheltered musical theater fairyland, you know? Okay, so you're not on stage, you're not singing. You're not a performer. What would you be doing? What other interests do you have? Whether it could be another career or just like, oh, I also have, I like to, I don't know, have a stamp collection.
I really love, I love creating things like with my hands. I love painting. I love, so throughout lockdown, when there weren't any acting jobs going, I made so many things. I made teddy bears out of my late grandmother's old bed sheets, and I made hand puppets. I hand stitched them all my little cousins' favorite animals, and I painted little pictures for their bedroom walls. And if I could make that a career, I think I would, like just making things for people.
Love it. I love it. As a cover, what public performances or things you've been able to do outside the theater? Because I know that oftentimes a cover, an understudy or whatnot, they'll get asked, hey, there's this promo thing or there's this special event. Have you done anything fun lately for Hamilton?
So before I made any stage debut for the show, we had West End Live. Do you know about West End Live?
I saw it on your Instagram.
Yeah. So it's like this huge like weekend festival of all the West End shows, and they do like a 10-minute set for free. Just everyone just come and check it out in Trafalgar Square, and it's packed, like as far as the eye can see, all the roads get blocked off, and it's so packed. And yeah, they asked me to do Angelica for that, and we did Skylar Sister. So that was the first thing that I did for Hamilton, and that was really cool. Since then, yeah, we've been doing like a bunch of like takeover stuff, and I don't tend to get involved. I don't know, I shy away from cameras, but if it's there, I'll pop my head in and say hey. But
all right, if you shy, what made you say yes to my invite to come chat with you?
I don't know, like your message about the show seems so genuine. I really appreciated it. Uh-huh. Like my work means a lot to me, and when I feel like I can move someone else, I feel like I've done my job. And I don't know, I believed you. I believed your message.
Well, good, it was genuine for sure. And I love what you said about if you can move somebody else with your work, then you take that opportunity. Last question before I let you go. Again, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Being a cover for the sisters, not always being on, having to be ready for a call at maybe any moment sometimes or planned. How do you stay ready? And also, how do you best keep your flow when you're not always consistently on? Have you implemented any practices or tell us about that experience for you?
So we've around the theater, we've got a few rehearsal rooms that we're welcome to use anytime, and sometimes there's one rehearsal room right behind the stage, so you can hear everything that's going on. And one thing that I like to do is I just do my track in the rehearsal room as if I'm on stage, but I can hear everything. I can't sing too loudly because the sound might bleed, but yeah, that's one thing I like to do. There's just rehearsing the show, like my track over and over again. We get singing lessons weekly if we want them, and that's always a really good opportunity to just like, yeah, go over anything that I need to.
Is this just specific to the Hamilton production, or is this a West End thing where...
As far as I know, the building, I've not done any other West End shows, so I don't really know, but are you talking about the singing lessons?
Yeah. So that was very, very unique and like unheard of, like in a Broadway show. There, it's not like, oh, you can have a singing lesson every week if you want.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty West End wide, because I think singing teachers will be like, yeah, I'm working on this show. So I mean, yeah, it's our job to be able to do
this. It's provided by the show, though.
Yeah.
At no cost.
No, it's our work.
Wow, so this is like, this is people in America listening to this right now. It's like my no way.
Yeah, no, like I mean, they want us to do a good job. They're looking after us to make sure we do a good job. So yeah, I appreciate it.
Wow, I can't wait to tell some of my friends, see what they think. They're going to be so jealous. Okay, Maya, I appreciate your time. So many great things that you gave us insight to. You're a powerhouse up on the stage. Again, I was blown away by your performance. I was very fortunate to get to see you. Everyone that's listening, make sure that you go to Maya's Instagram, MayaBrito_. You can check that out in the description of this episode. Maya, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
All right, everyone. Maya Brito from Hamilton in the West End, covering the Skylar Sisters. Voice lessons weekly. Crazy, crazy. And Maya might just be coming around, I don't know, National Geographic TV in about 100 years from now as an elephant. So be on the lookout if you see Maya as an elephant. All right, everyone. I'm Joe Roscoe from Built for the Stage. You can check out builtforthestage.com or follow us on the gram at Built for the Stage. Until next time, actors or athletes, train like one. Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.